Hey everybody, it's me, Bridget, and this is Dark, Dangerous, and Deadly. Now, I know it's been a while, but I have a lot going on, and there's a lot of changes coming to the channel, so I wanted to make sure that I got everything in order so there wasn't a bunch of confusion and stuff, but I promise you, it was definitely worth the wait. There are a lot of stories that I'm doing this time around that focus mainly on the victims. And like I had said previously, most of these are requests from, you know, some of the listeners, some people in my friends and family and close circle. So there will be times that, you know, we may get a little bit off track. And that's only because I want to make sure that this time I'm covering as many of the requests as I possibly can. So we may have some that are a little bit more focused on the murders, but for the most part, we're going to be focusing on the victims this time. Some of these stories are things that were, you know, really important to me. And, you know, for different reasons, some of them I felt like a really close connection to, and I want to make sure that I give them just the proper time that they need. You're going to look at a lot of longer episodes, ones that are going to go into a lot of detail. A lot of them are just really heartbreaking, and some of them, you can tell that I am very angry and very heartbroken by a lot of them. We're going to cover a lot of different topics. We're going to cover some things that have to do with religion. We're also going to cover some racism, some homophobia. And that obviously is a really big problem even still, even though some people just don't want to admit it. But yeah, there are going to be some stories that are going to be extremely graphic. And I'm going to be thorough with them only because I feel like it's necessary. You know, like there are just going to be some stories that you're going to need to hear the horrible, disgusting parts of it that are going to break your soul in half. But I feel like it's a necessity because the more that we ignore certain things, the more that we repeat them. So in order for us to learn as a society and as a people from our mistakes, we have to recognize what the mistakes are. And then we can grow from there. Some stories like really hit home, and I wanted to put as much time, like I said, into them as I could. And I really did. During this time, I was able to gather up so much information, and, I was able to watch some of the movies that are based on these stories and some of the documentaries and read some of the books and things like that. Like, I really dived as deep as I possibly could in these cases. So I really hope that you guys appreciate all of the hard work. I want us to thank everybody that bought merch from the first batch of merch. I'm going to be posting pictures as soon as these people give me the damn pictures, but, there was a bunch of people that bought merch, and it really made me very happy to know that I have a lot of support. So thank you all, everyone that bought merch. The new store is up and running, and I do have a promotion right now. So I'm going to put the link in the description of the video for that. And yeah, so thank you all. And let's get into today's first story. In America, we live such a free and equal life. Both men and women are equal. And to us, it makes sense for it to be so. We're all human and should be treated as such, right? However, this is not the view of the entire world. And in some places, women are seen as property. It's hard to imagine that in this time that would be a thing, but sadly, it is. In Egypt, a husband can kill his wife if she cheats. However, a wife cannot kill her husband if he cheats. If the husband kills his wife for cheating, it's actually considered an honor killing, and therefore considered a misdemeanor. Article 237 of Egyptian Penal Code basically states that if you find your wife in bed with another man, you can kill both of them and just get detained. That's it. And then on top of this, this kind of has just morphed into any man that feels, all he has to do is feel that a woman in his family or that is connected to him has dishonored the family in some way or has done something to shame the family, he can just take it upon himself to kill her. That's all. And this is not only in Egypt. You see, we look at that and we're like, oh my gosh, but that's in a different country, so it doesn't really apply to us. Actually, honored killings happen here in the United States of America, and they happen worldwide. And these quote-unquote honor killings are all against women. So I think the whole world needs to open their eyes. But I mean, why am I telling you this? Right? What's the purpose? Well, it brings us to our case today. An unhonorable killing. One that crushed my soul and just really enraged me. There were just so many people that could have helped that just didn't. People that were close to the situation and knew exactly what was going on. People that you should have been able to trust. This is the story of Amina and Sarah Saeed. Let's go back to 1986. Patricia Owens was 14 at the time, and she was dating, you know, this Egyptian man, and she just thought he was the hottest shit ever. He goes to her father, and he's like, look, you guys are poor. I'm really rich. My family is rich. We have so much stuff. If you let me marry your 14-year-old daughter, I'll take care of her. And her parents were both like, wow, that sounds like a fucking great idea. Sure, marry my 14-year-old daughter. And then Patricia winds up breaking up with him. And then she winds up, hey, now she's interested in his brother. That's not weird at all, you know? So she starts dating. Oh, I'm sorry. She starts dating his brother. And at 15 years old, she marries the brother, whose name was Yasser Abdul Saeed. Now, after just a few weeks of them being married, she was knocked up. So she had one baby at 16, another baby at 17, another baby at 18. Her firstborn was Islam. her son. Second born was Amina in 1989, and then Sarah was born in 1990. That's classy. Now, even though Patricia was American, the girls were raised with mostly Egyptian customs. This meant that Yasser had full control over them, like property, you know, like we discussed earlier. Now, he often abused them, beating them, and at some points, molesting them. As young girls, they opened up to their aunt that Yasser had penetrated them. So their mother, supposedly, brought them to the doctors to be checked. The doctor concluded that everything looked normal. Now, okay, so some people took this as the girls were lying, but these are two young girls. Now, I want you to really understand, these young girls were kept under lock and key. There is nothing that they could do or see or hear or experience that their father was not a fucking hovercraft around them. So it's not like they snuck and watched some porno or something. These are young girls. They are naive to the entire world because they are not allowed to experience anything. This level of naive is just like, how do they even know that their father has anything different below the belt than they do? Like, as adults, we just automatically assume this, right? We see a man, we automatically assume that, you know, he has a penis, even though probably not something we should assume now. But it's just something that has always been instilled, you know, as we get older, we just make that connection. But these are young girls. They know what they have. They don't know what anybody else has. You know? So, one, how are they able to describe what this thing looks like? And that you put it inside of you. So clearly, something was going on. Now, also, just because nothing looks out of place or out of the ordinary doesn't mean anything. Now, there is a case that I'm going to go over, but, I mean, just obviously we're not going to discuss it today. But in the case of Jan Broberg, Robert Berchtold molested her and penetrated her multiple times. Multiple times. And nothing looked like she had been touched. So, yeah, it goes without saying that I know the girls were telling the truth. Anyway, as the kids grew, you could tell that Islam was the only being cared for. Like, he had everything a kid could want, and the girls didn't even have their own fucking bed. They slept together in a bed that looked like that of a homeless shelter. And although Yasser didn't shower the girls with love and gifts and, I mean, anything that a normal father would, he always had his video camera on them. He videotaped them so often that you could probably see them growing up without needing to be there. Now, this is not one of those like, all right, mom, stop taking pictures of me. It's not like that. Okay? There were times that he would be videotaping them while they are sleeping, which we are about to discuss that, while they're outside on the trampoline. And not like, you know, he's standing outside taking a little video of like his kids jumping on the trampoline. He's standing in like the house with like the camera pointed like out the window, and he's like spying on them, videotaping them. Okay, but if that's not creepy enough, let's go to this clip. There's a clip, and if you look it up, I'm going to give you the name of the documentary that I found a lot of this information, well, a lot of the video clips from. One of the most famous clips is of Yasser videotaping them while they're sleeping, right? Then he has Islam come in, and he and Islam are watching the girls in their bed. He's literally telling Amina, who has her legs like exposed, you know, like, now mind you, they're basically sleeping in regular clothes. So he comes in, he's videotaping them, her legs are poking out from the blanket, and he says, like, with like a growl in his voice, like, nice legs. And the sound of it just makes you want to just, I don't like, bash his fucking face in. Like, there's no other way to say that. There's nothing else. That, if anyone on this planet deserves to die, it's a person that looks at a child in a sexual way. Baby touchers, pedophiles, they should all die. I don't give a fuck. They really should. Like, you're literally stealing innocence. You're hurting the most vulnerable of society. Like, how tough does that make you? Anyway, that's why we should bring back the electric chair. But that is for another day. So now he tells Islam to get the blankets off of Sarah. And Sarah is laying behind Amina. So Sarah tries to, like, she, like, rolls over to try to, like, cover her face. You know, she just woke up. She's a teenager that just woke up. She does not want a video camera in her fucking face. And so Yasser takes this as an opportunity to zoom in to her butt. And is like, very nice. Who the fuck says that about their daughter? Who says that about their daughter? I, like, that's so disgusting. Just hearing it, you know, reading it is like, that's fucking gross. But then hearing him actually say it just makes you want to throw up. It's so disgusting. I have never just hated like a type of person more in my life than I hate fucking pedophiles. Like, I'm a mother of two, and I'm so paranoid about fucking pedophiles that, like, my oldest, he's on the lookout constantly. Like, if you are not, don't pick up his brother and try to put him on your lap, because he will fucking tell your ass off. And I wanted him to be like that. I want them to be vigilant, because it's so scary that it's always someone that you trust, or someone that the children feel like they can trust, a family member, a close friend, you know, someone of authority. It could be a teacher, or, hey, even a police officer, you know, someone like that. Those are the people. You're not going to have some fucking creepy white guy with a comb over and some fucking thick ass bottle cap glasses, you know, in his, like, fucking minivan, like, pulling around. That they don't look like that. And this is the prime example. This is her fucking father. This is her father that is checking her out, commenting on her ass. It's fucking disgusting. And we're going to get into the piece of shit, Patricia, that they call mother in a second. So when Yasser is videotaping these girls, he's videotaping, like I said, not like a loving parent that just wants to preserve memories, you know? He's videotaping them like, I don't know, like they're for sale. You know, like, he's trying to give someone a good look at what they're going to buy, kind of thing. It's just, I don't know, like, it's just really gross. But I mean, after all, Amina, when she turned 16, she was taken to Egypt to be, like, shown to a bunch of, like, old, disgusting fucking men so that she could be sold to the highest bidder. Because, you know, that's what dads do. You know, like, they just were like, oh, hey, here, you want to marry my daughter? How much can you give me? No? Okay, next. But Amina wound up finding this boy. You know, she was in like a martial arts class, and she meets this boy, and she's just so in love with him. And she starts confiding in him and his mom and stuff. And, you know, just I watched the documentary, which, by the way, is the name, The Price of Honor. And I had watched that along with like a few other sources that I'll list later. And just seeing the reaction of people, like just talking about Amina and Sarah, was just so odd, because there are so many people that you can genuinely see that just absolutely love these girls and that were super heartbroken over what happened. And then you get their disgusting piece of garbage. I don't know what you call her. I guess they called her mom. But I can't. I cannot call her their mother. I just really can't. So, anyway, we're going to get to her. Oh, so, her and her boyfriend start making plans, you know, for their future. They're talking about just all the possibilities, you know, that young love when you just feel like it's just you and that person and everything is just amazing. Well, for the girls, it wasn't. And, you know, soon after dating, she starts telling, I think his name is Joseph. She starts telling him, like, I want to run away, you know, like I want to get away. I want you and I to just leave and to just start over, start new somewhere. But she was so scared of her father, and not only her father, but her father and her uncles, because she said that they would never stop. Like they would never leave her alone. Even if she was to run, they would find her. And I believe it. And you're going to see why. But yeah. Joseph remembered that one time Amina had texted him. And she was like, about her father, quote, "He was talking to my uncle about the bride prices for his daughters. That makes me so mad. They're literally selling us." End quote. I don't know. I just, maybe because these are not things that are common in America, I can't wrap my brain around it. But also, as a parent, I can't wrap my brain around it. How would you... I don't know. Why would you want your daughter to go and marry some guy who is probably going to treat her like absolute garbage? He's going to treat her like a slave, and you're going to get money for it, and you're okay with that. I don't know. I can't understand, like, garbage piece of shit ass parents. You know, Amina and Sarah were Americans. They didn't want to move to a foreign land to be sold like cattle. You know, they knew in Egypt they would live horrible lives. You know, basically a slave to an old man. Like an old man. Like, ew. Just fucking gross. And Patricia, their piece of shit mother, she was okay with all of this. She knew... that he planned on selling the girls. Like, she knew about the abuse, and I believe she knew about the future murders. So Patricia would sit in the car with Yasser, and she spied on Sarah. Well, they spied on Sarah while she was at work. Like, dude was seriously videotaping her while she was at work. Okay? And sloppy Patricia thought that this was normal? Like, of course not. She knew what he was, but she didn't care. She was so obsessed with him. And Amina and Sarah were nothing to her. Yasser was everything. She didn't give a fuck about her kids. Well, she didn't give a fuck about Amina and Sarah. Now, Islam, you know, he was the other man of the house. So he was important. But Amina and Sarah were nothing. It gets me so angry. So now, one part of the documentary, The Price of Honor, Joseph talks about how he and Amina used to share little love notes back and forth. Like, how cute is that? Writing little notes, you know? I don't know how many people have done that, you know, today's younger kids. But I know I used to do it all the time. Not little love notes, but I used to write little notes to my friends all the time. And I know, oh my gosh, I remember my sister used to do it all the time. And one of the teachers had told my mom that, you know, if she put as much effort into writing notes as she did into her work, she'd be getting straight A's. So she'll probably kill me because I said that. But anyway, so little notes were popular. It was a cute little way you could send a little reminder. Hey, I was thinking about you in this class, and here you go, you know? So they used to send these little love notes back and forth, and that's adorable. And so one day Yasser finds one that Amina was like writing to Joseph, and he like flips out. He starts questioning her. I'm sorry. He starts questioning her on who the receiver was. So she tells him like, oh, it's just pretend, you know, I'm just pretending like, you know, like I have a real life boyfriend, but I don't. And so Yasser wasn't believing it. He beat her. And I mean beat her repeatedly. He even kicked her. I guess he kicked her in the stomach and then kicked her in the face. He hit her so hard in her mouth that her braces were embedded, like, well, her lips were embedded into her braces. Like, I'll let that sink in for you. This man hit his daughter so hard that her lips became one with the braces on her teeth. I don't know. Like, to me, when someone says, like, oh, no one deserves to die, and then you read some of these cases or, you know, you listen to some of these cases and you're like, you know, I think that maybe some people do deserve to die. And Yasser Saeed is one of them, along with Sloppy Patty over there. So, now, Patricia... Now, this is the best part of this documentary. So if you read, like, some of the articles, you'll see that Patricia tries to change her story and tweak here and there, depending on who's asking, you know, maybe what her mood is, maybe what she fucking ate, you know, because she's, like, 7,000 pounds of just pure sloppiness. So she is always changing her story. But the best part of this documentary was the super beautiful way that they put and pieced together this documentary. They were able to switch back and forth to every single answer that she has given to the same exact question. And it wasn't like, they didn't have to come out and say that she's a liar. They didn't have to do any of that. They let the evidence talk for itself. And that was beautifully done. It was beautifully done. And this is one of those cases because she starts talking about Yasser. And she's like, oh no, that never happened. He never did that. Oh, she didn't even have braces, right? And then, you know, she talks about, oh my gosh, he never hit his kids. He loved his kids. He was so great with his kids. He loves his daughters. And then another one will be like, oh yeah, he abused me. He abused the kids. He abused everybody. He was horrible. He was this, he was that. So what is it, Sloppy Patty? Is it that he was like fucking father of the year? Or was it that he was an abusive piece of shit? Because I think he was a fucking abusive piece of shit. And I think you were a fucking enabler. That's what I think. So now after this event, you know, where he starts, you know, kicking his daughter in the mouth and shit, he picks up the family and just moves. Now, no one knew what happened to Amina and Sarah. They just vanished off the face of the earth. So Amina winds up, like, reaching out to, like, her martial arts instructor. And she asked him to, like, relay some messages, you know, to Joseph. So he relays them to Joseph's mother, who does, okay, so she starts talking to Amina, but doesn't allow Amina and Joseph to communicate together. Now this is what kind of, like, gets me a little annoyed, is because they were super in love. Whether they were young or not, you know, maybe your first love isn't, like, real love, or isn't a much more intense love than when you're older. But when you're that young, you truly believe in your heart and soul that you are in love with this person. So here this young man is, not knowing where the love of his life is. And his mom knows and is just keeping it from him. So he has no idea that she's been communicating with Amina. No idea whatsoever. And Amina keeps begging her, please, please let me speak to Joseph. Finally, she gives in. And she gives Amina like an email or something in order to be able to contact him. She says that the reason that she did this was because, I don't know, she was trying to protect her son and protect Amina because, you know, what her father had did to her. And she was afraid for her son, which, you know, that makes sense. And that's, you know, any mother would be afraid for their child. But, like, you were afraid, but then you weren't afraid anymore, and you started letting them talk. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking into this too much, but it just seems like for these young adults, there was just a lot against them, and how everything ends, I think, is why I'm just so pissed off. And this is the end of part one. I'm sorry, guys. So next time, we'll get into the real tragedy. And you're going to hate all of the people that I hate. And your heart is really going to break even more. Make sure that you keep an eye out for part two. And thank you for listening. Have a good night. Gode natt.